Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to your word now, we pray that you would teach us. Teach us how to trust you. Teach us how we're accepted as righteous in your sight, and give us comfort and encouragement from that knowledge. And teach us, O Lord, to see Jesus cursed by you for our sake, and see how you saved us through him, and to leave this time of worship and gratitude, and to bring glory to your name for all you've done. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Galatians 3, chapter and verses 10 through 14. The word of God. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, now I want to introduce you to an old late friend, a woman named Eleanor Campbell. I was a very confused young man when I entered college, but the Lord reached out to me through Mrs. Campbell, among others, other people. She was an unwell woman, physically afflicted, who taught a Bible study to college students because she couldn't find elders in her church who wanted to take the time to do it, so she did it herself. She would rather have had a man do it, but she was faithful when she taught us. And I got to know her personally and learned of her struggles with her faith. She would often sob, openly sob and cry, I feel like such a failure. I wanted to help her, but I was too young and I didn't know how. I wish I had understood then the good news of this passage. May I ask you, have you ever felt like a failure in the sight of God? You see your life as a series of habitual sins or failures in the eyes of your family or other people, and you say you feel to yourself, I feel such a failure in the sight of God. How could he possibly love me? Well, know this. It is because of your sin that you feel like a failure. But this passage has good news for you. Remember what Paul is doing. He's battling the false doctrine of the Judaizers that you have to keep the law to be justified before God. That is the lie he refutes here. So bring your feelings of failure to our text this evening and find the grace of God declared in it, as Paul makes two basic points progressively in our text, using Old Testament scripture to do it. He starts here. To be justified, which means to be accepted as righteous in God's sight, the only way to do that, the only way to be accepted as righteous in God's sight, to be justified, is to keep the law perfectly. Now, Paul is continuing to explain why works cannot justify, why you can't keep the law perfectly, and why it's not necessary for you to do that. So he's complaining why works cannot justify. Remember the Judaizer code. Keep the feasts, keep the ceremonial laws, and be circumcised, and you will be justified. You'll be declared righteous by God. He says that in verse 5. When he asks the question, does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? He makes the equation that if you receive the Spirit, you're justified at the same time. But there's a problem, because this means that in order to be justified, you have to obey each commandment perfectly. On your best day, though, you will fail to do it all. man or woman as fallen in Adam has the image of God scarred by Adam's sin. So you will fail because Adam failed first. And that failure is built into your DNA, as it were, into your spiritual DNA. It's a part of your character. And Paul enforces this by citing God's clear penalty for failure in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Notice he doesn't say, if you get some of them wrong, you're okay. But no, the law says you have to keep it perfectly. He's echoing here Genesis 2:17, when Adam was told by God, on the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And then he's echoing the curse in Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. And then he sent Adam out of the garden and out of his presence under that curse. That's where it all started. As I said, failure to keep God's law perfectly is in our DNA, spiritually speaking. And we call that theologically total depravity. There's not a bit of your character that is not affected by your sin. Even the illness of your body is the result of sin. The sin of Adam is what makes us mortal, not immortal. It makes us doomed to die. So it is utter foolishness to escape, to expect any escape from God's curse, but even our best efforts, which are always laced with sin and rebellion. And Paul finally enforces his point by putting it in a more positive vein in verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. He raises the figure of Abraham again, because he said this back in verses 6 and 7. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. You have to believe as Abraham believed in God to be justified. To try to be justified, to try to succeed in keeping the law perfectly and not fail in God's eyes and thus be justified, is simply a hopeless endeavor. Because as Paul says in verse 12, those who do practice God's law perfectly, and only those who do it perfectly, will live by doing that. Only they who keep the law perfectly will be justified. Verse 12, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. You will never be the first one to succeed in keeping the law perfectly, because you, like Adam, are a sinner. And if you feel like a failure, it's because in the eyes of God's law, you are a failure. You are a sinner. You have failed to keep the law of God, and you should feel like a failure. In fact, you should feel guilty. So what's the solution here? Well, the answer to your sense of failure in God's eyes, says Paul, is to fix your eyes on Jesus, who is cursed by God for you. So now Paul turns to the Galatians and says in verse 13, here is your only hope. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Notice how he uses the first person plural here to encourage the Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at verse 10 again. As many are under the law, are under a curse, because cursed is everyone who does not abide from all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And that's a citation of Deuteronomy 21:23. And that's why he said what he did in verse 1 about Jesus Christ being publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul points to the depth of the meaning of Christ's death on the cross. Christ took the cross for your sin on himself and died your death, the death you were supposed to die for your sin. The key here is the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. Christ crucified for us. Remember what Paul said in chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. I hung on the cross, joined to him by faith. And when Jesus Christ, therefore, was cursed by God for the sin that you committed but was laid on him, you were cursed with him. And the result is oh so glorious in verse 14. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham is the gift of justification by God, because Abraham believed his promise of life for him and his descendants. Notice again how Paul ties justification with the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians 1:13. That's just a couple pages over from where you are now. Ephesians 1:13. In Christ, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, that is, believed in Jesus, you were sealed in Jesus, in him, with the Holy Spirit of promise. When the Gentiles believed in Jesus as the Savior, crucified and cursed for them and their sin, they received the Spirit. And this is true of the Jews as well. And so both Gentile and Jew were justified when they believed in Jesus as the Savior, crucified and cursed for them and for their sin. And so Paul is answering a question from these Galatian Gentile believers that we also need to ask. How does a Gentile, such as a Galatian, a sinner such as we are, benefit from the saving work of Christ dying on the cross for our sins? The answer is the blessing of Abraham, the justification of a sinner by God, is received and sealed by the gift of the Spirit when you believe God's promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the promise you believe. And if you do that, your failures will never be counted against you ever again. Your sins are gone. Christ bore them. As the Old Testament says, they've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. God never considers them again once you've trusted in Jesus. So, have you ever felt like a failure in God's eyes? Do one or more of you listening right now feel like a failure right now? Maybe you've had a rough week at work, a rough week with the kids, a rough week with the family, a rough week, period, and you feel like a failure because you haven't been living for God. You've been selfish and committed the usual sins, maybe some gross sins in the past week. Do you feel like a failure as you sit here listening right now? Why does that happen? Why do we feel like failures? Well, for a couple of reasons. Look in the mirror, and what do you see? Be honest. You see a sinner who has not kept God's law. You see someone who has rebelled and done something, perhaps some things that are really, really awful. And you would hate for anyone to be able to see what you did or know what you did. You feel guilty, and you should. You broke God's law. And if you feel guilt, well, that is a good thing because you're guilty. If you never felt guilty for committing sin, that would be an awful thing. It would mean the Holy Spirit's not working on your conscience. But if you feel guilty, if you feel like a failure, do not dwell on that for too long. Just dwell on it long enough to fall to your knees and confess your sin and guilt to God and to turn to Jesus. Examine your heart with judgment day honesty, which means the way you'll have to be honest before God when he questions you as to how you've lived your life at the judgment seat. Well, he actually won't question you, will he? He'll tell you what you did, and you will just have to admit it right there. So examine your heart with judgment day honesty and ask the Holy Spirit, look at 14b, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see your sin. What is sin? Westminster Shorter Catechism says sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. That means you've not kept the law of God perfectly. And that is what sin is. So examine your heart that honestly and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see your sin. And then allow the sense of guilt and shame to wash over you and to do its work on you until you despair of being able to fix the wrong you did. Go ahead and embrace feeling like a failure. But don't stop there. Once you've started confronting your failure and admitting it, lift up your eyes to the cross of Jesus and then look further up to see him by faith seated at the right hand of the Father. If you've trusted in Jesus, if you want to trust in Jesus, he is your advocate who pleads his own shed blood as payment in full for your worst sins. I'm talking about the sins you would hate for anyone to ever hear about, but he shed his blood to pay for them too. Your worst sins and your failure, he shed his blood to pay for them. And he sits there at the right hand of the Father and intercedes with the Father to forgive you for them all. And once you've confessed those sins, do not dwell any further upon your failure, but instead plead for the grace to fully repent of your sins in grief and hatred for them. And then know that the Father has already accepted Christ's payment and already forgiven your sins, all of them, for Jesus' sake. Let me get back to Mrs. Campbell. Mrs. C, as we called her, did trust in Jesus. I know that. Knew her for a long time. But she suffered from strong doubts. That's why she felt like a failure. Oh, I wish I could have seen the glorious smile and the tears of unspeakable joy on Eleanor Campbell's face when she entered God's presence. How humbled and unspeakably grateful she must have been to have her faith in Jesus, and that the Lord, her God, really had forgiven and loved her, to realize fully that her Savior took the curse of God for her. I just wish she had realized it fully when I knew her in this world. But I rejoice in the knowledge that she will never doubt God's grace and love for her ever again. But more than that, I am learning to take comfort for myself in the truth that Christ has also redeemed me from the curse of the law. Now, what about you? Do you ever consider yourself a failure in God's eyes? You see, you have to start there. If you never see yourself as a failure in God's eyes, you will never really trust in Jesus for salvation. You'll still be relying on the possibility that you've done just enough. You never will do enough. So away with the heresy that you have to learn to love yourself before you can love God or your neighbor. To hell, literally, with the notion that you can do anything to earn God's pardon or favor, because that's a doctrine from hell. God has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for sinners like you who believe in him. And he gives the Spirit to seal that promise to them. So, did he die for you? Did he become a curse for you? Do not allow sleep to take you tonight until you have rested and trusted in Jesus fully. But if, on the other hand, you do trust, or have already trusted in him and his redeeming blood, then rest in the sweet knowledge that God loves you and accepts you as perfect in his sight because of what Jesus did in dying for you. Praise God. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for that precious gift. Tonight, O Lord, take those failures that we've committed, and take away the feelings of failure from all of us who have trusted in Jesus, and help us to focus on the truth that Jesus saves by becoming a curse for us. And now you have nothing but blessing for us because of him, for which we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.